So we are excited to be here this morning. We're excited to be here every morning. Last week was so special coming back and just seeing all the familiar faces. And it was sort of strange this morning when she's talking about the missionaries and go, oh yeah, that's me they're talking about. But it's really a special privilege, Shirley, to share this morning with you. Shirley and Walter and I were all in Providence, which was Winnipeg Bible College at that time, together. So it's sort of neat to be here and sharing this morning with you and going for the same cause. It's wonderful. The DTS video that you just saw, you may have seen this last year because we showed it to you, but we just thought that it was a good overview of what we're doing out there and what we've been spending our time with. We'll get the next picture up here. Now, once every 3 months in Kona, about 600 new students come on the campus. And we are working with just one small part of that, one DTS, because they showed DTS, and there's many different DTSs with different emphases. But the one that we've been working with is Crossroads. And the Crossroads, I hate to say this, but it's for the older people. That's why we're in it. A lot of the youth of the mission is the younger age people around university age, but Crossroads is for families with older singles. So when these students arrived in September. There's 32 of them, and they were from all walks of life. Some were single, some were married couples, some had children, some didn't have children. But these came as all of them are strangers. Nobody knew each other. And 5 months later, we are all family. So we get together the first 3 months in Hawaii. So we're actually doing some work there. We have to keep emphasizing that fact. The moment we say Hawaii, people go, whatever. You know? But yeah, so the first 3 months, we're in a lecture phase there. And so Walter and I and 4 other staff are there with these 32 students, and every week we get a different speaker. So you can imagine yourself when you go to camp or something, you have that one speaker for the week and you come back so pumped because they were so good. Well, we do that every week for 3 months. So at the end of 3 months, we are overwhelmed with what we've been hearing and what we've been being told and taught. So we just get a little bit of an overload. And the lectures start at the beginning when we first get there. A lot of the speakers are on subjects that are sort of inward focused about ourselves. And it's supposed to be focused on that we are healing ourselves, getting our wounds, our deep hurts and things that hold us back, getting those brought into the light and let Jesus heal us. And then as the 3 months goes on, the lectures get more and more outward-based so that we go from ourselves and then we're supposed to start looking out and start looking into what can we do to help, where can we minister, how can we use our gifts. So that's what we do. And these are the people that we have been spending the last 6 months with, and every one of them is pretty well family for us now, and it's neat how we're getting connections all over the world and having people that we know all over. When we were there, we're all on WhatsApp, which is a sort of a communication line on our phones and stuff. And when we're there, we're all on that, and it's busy all day. And then at nighttime, we'd all go to sleep. Now that everyone's home and we're all over the world, this WhatsApp is going 24 hours a day because there's always somebody awake somewhere in the world. And so we just have messages on our phones popping up like all the time. So I'll get you to put up the map of Malaysia. Malaysia is an island, well, almost an island joined on this side and island on that side. So we have West Malaysia over here, East Malaysia. And we spent most of our time over in West Malaysia on this side. And if you go up the coast of it, up the side, there's, I don't know if you can read it from there, but it's a little place called Georgetown, which is on Penang, which is a little island off the mainland of West Malaysia. And that's where we spent most of our time. We settled in there we got there just before Christmas. So we settled in for about 2 weeks and sort of got our bearings, figured out how to get around. And then we packed up our bags again and we took off to East Malaysia. Took a plane over and landed in Miri, which is quite a modern city. But East Malaysia and Sarawak is where we were, a lot of it is a lot more primitive than West Malaysia. West Malaysia is pretty civilized, a lot of like up, you'd land there and you'd think you're in a very modern city. You go over to the east side, it's not quite like that. So we went to Miri, and all 22 of us, so there were 22 people all together, that included 7 children. We started, the youngest of ours was 5 years old. The oldest person on our team was 78 years old. So we had a long range of people, and we're so proud of, especially our people that were older in our group. We had some pretty primitive conditions. We slept on the floor. We took trucks that for about 7.5 hours once we got to Miri into the interior. So we were in pretty dense jungle there. So it was a wonderful time there. If you can show the picture of Sarawak, the next one. Now, this is a longhouse, and the people that live there are the indigenous people of Malaysia. Malaysia has 3 main cultures now, the Chinese and the Indian and the Malays, but the people that live mostly on East Malaysia are indigenous to Malaysia, so they were the very first ones there. And what has happened, they have been putting up water dams and things, the flooding out areas, and they've been forcing tribes that are usually hunters and gatherers and wandering in the jungle, and they've been forcing them to come into areas and live in these longhouses. And so you can see there's little apartments going in on each one, but they share these long balconies across where everyone that's sort of like their front yard. And that's called a longhouse. And so you go, we were in 4 settlements when we were there all together, and different ones. And what we did there was we had kids clubs, we did preaching in a church, churches that were established there. We gave our testimonies. We showed the Jesus film in their language because we found out beforehand what the language was and was able to bring that along in their language. And so we went in here 7.5 hours and lived with them for, this was only a week of our time there. And when we're there, each of these different settlements, we were in 4 of them all together. And some of them were mainly Christian. Some of them were more mainly animist, which they practice over there. So it was really interesting as you drove on into these with our trucks and this whole convoy would come in. You could really tell the areas that Jesus had already infiltrated. Some of them we went to. This one you can see it looks nice. Like we came in and things were organized. Things there was beauty around. People had planted flowers and stuff. We came into ones that were mainly animist still, and they weren't like that. They were disorganized. You could just see chaos as soon as you drove in. So it's amazing to see when Jesus comes somewhere, the beauty that comes with Jesus. So that was sort of cool. Each place we went had a church already in these areas. So there was a pastor, and usually his wife, most of them were couples, and they were already working in these areas. So we were coming alongside with them, doing visits to people that they already knew. And in this side, on East Malaysia, we had to have interpreters. There was hardly or virtually no English. On West Malaysia, where we spent most of our time, the rest of the time is almost all English, so we didn't have to have interpreters. So we had interpreters on this side, and we worked with the pastors and sort of things that they're already involved in, so that when we left, there's still someone working there. But we were only there for a week. And you sort of sometimes wonder, like, you know, these visits in, we're going into, you know, 4 different communities. And I know I'm sure Shirley can do with her short ministries too and stuff. You're not there long. But, you know, Jesus doesn't need a long time to work. And he works in the long term and the short term and the very short term like this, even in a week. I was going to tell you a story about one little girl that I met there. And her name was Marcia. She's about 9 years old. And the first time I ever met her, she was tagging along behind her friend. Her friend was dragging her, sort of. And her friend was bringing her to our kids' club. And her friend came up, and through interpreter, she told us that she is bringing her friend. And she goes, her friend, Marcia, hadn't spoken a word for 2 years. And they found out that her parents had divorced, and her mom had left. And the day that her mom left, she quit talking. And so she hadn't spoken. And she was a beautiful little girl, but hadn't spoken for 2 whole years. And she came to us too. She also had quite a bad wound on her foot. And one of the men in our group is a nurse, so he said, well, I'll take care of her foot. Let's clean that up and bandage it. And during the week, he, you know, changed her bandage and cleaned it about 3 times to get her foot healing. But the first time she was there, that first time when he was working away on her foot and getting it all cleaned and soaking in water and some disinfectant and stuff, we asked through the interpreter if we could pray with her, and she nodded. And so we prayed with her and just asked Jesus' healing to come into her. And then we asked her, like I said, or when we were talking to her after, we're telling her, you know, this is a pretty safe place, and all the people around here love you and they love Jesus. You know, no matter what you do, it's going to be okay here. So if you want to try a few words, that would be great. And then I suggested that maybe if we do some songs, maybe singing would be easier than talking. And by the end of the week, she was both singing and talking. And that was after 2 years. And God's miracle just came down and touched this little girl. And when you touch a child, you always touch their family too. The 3 times she came to get her foot rebandaged, one time her grandmother came with her, one time her grandfather, and another time her dad came. And as she was getting her foot bandaged up, her dad said something to her, and she answered him, going in her language, of course, but said, "Yes, Dad." And he just looked at us, and he goes, "That's the first time I've heard Dad in 2 years." So God is working, and it doesn't matter how long we're there or how short we're there. God works and uses these miracles.
Wow, you took a long time.
I'm
getting antsy.
Finished.
I got so much to share. I don't know. You know, God helped us plant many seeds, and it was so encouraging. We were involved in, Youth with a Mission has a base there in Georgetown, in the island of Penang, and our team was involved in the sex trade, prostitutes, just talking with them and stuff, and also people that are trafficked for labor, you know, like they get them working for next to nothing. They were involved with these people as well, the homeless, in a homeless shelter, personal care homes, teaching English, to the Rohingyas, children's ministry, and encouragement to the churches. The one church we went to, it's called City Light. It's a Chinese church. The pastor's 35. 99% of the people are younger than that. There's about 200. And just on fire, these. So all of these things combined. I just got a couple stories. Part of our team was going to the homeless shelter, and we did that the last time we were here as well. We were there. And we didn't know this, but earlier, this Chinese lady had gone, there's Kwan Center and there's Kwan Shop. Kwan Shop is like a Sally Ann, right? They have clothing. And Kwan Center is where they feed, they give meals, and have a Sunday, not a Sunday service, they have a service on Saturday. So anyways, this Chinese lady drove up in her car to drop off clothes at the Kwan Shop. And through the people working there, they invited her to come to the service, right? And so she shows up at this service. You got to think about it. She's a rich lady dropping off clothes. She goes to a homeless shelter to a service. It's like kind of out of her comfort zone. But anyway, she goes there and she talks to Soyan, which is a girl on our team from Chile. And she leads her to the Lord, right? And so then I say to Soyan, you know, you got to disciple her. You still got like a month. We just kind of lose contact. Soyan has to go to get her visa renewed in Singapore because she only got a 1 month visa. She needs 2. So she's sitting in the airport, and the person that's on the plane is this lady from China. And so they get to talk on the plane all the way over there. And the reason I share this story is that God orchestrates this stuff. God does it. We don't go and convert people. We can't convert anybody. But God brings it together. And I was just overwhelmed when we show that we love people, like Uber drivers. I've shared the gospel with so many Uber drivers. And God has been challenging me to listen to him, to be obedient. And you know, these are words we hear all the time, but so often I don't do it, right? So I get into a practice. I get into a car with an Uber driver. I say, okay, Lord, this guy's Muslim. How do I speak to him? What do I say? And he says, and Jesus speaks to my heart. He says, well, ask him about his family. So I say, so you got a family? Yeah, yeah. He talks a little bit, and then he says, my wife just had a miscarriage. I said, man, can I pray for you? Can I pray for your wife? And he says, yeah, that'd be great. This is a Muslim country. This is a Muslim Uber driver. And we just connect. Like, and I share, God loves you. God wants you to be successful driving Ubers, you know, driving people around. And, you know, we're not allowed to convert. You know, we can't convert anybody. So I just say, I can't convert you, you know. Or I talk about the Injil and how Jesus, right? I talk about Jesus to the Muslims. They believe he's a prophet. So I tell them a story. Number of stories. Tell them a story from Injil. And they know a lot of the stories, you know, how demons are cast out. Yeah. One thing I say to quite a few of them, I say, you know what, I don't want to be called a Christian. America's Christian, right? I want to be called a follower of Jesus. He says, oh yeah, I understand that. Yeah. It's the same with Muslim, he says. There's a lot of Muslims that don't follow it. All right? So you get a connection, you talk about God. It's so awesome to see the response. I talked, you know, I walked out on the street once and I said, Lord, who do you want me to talk to here? How you want? And suddenly a lady across the street says, hey, can you help me get across the street over there? It's really hard to cross. And I said, well, it is hard. You have to be careful. You have to go to the crosswalk, press the button. But even when you cross, be careful. The motorcycles will kill you. She's like 70 or something, right? A Jewish lady. It's a very multicultural here in Penang. And so we started talking about God. And then she talked, I don't know how long, she talked a long time. And then Chris showed up and she says, I'm having a debate with your husband. And I said to her, I haven't said anything. Seriously, you know. Well, I don't know if she laughed a little bit, but we talked about it. She said, I'd love to know God, to know that. And I said, well, can I give you my email address? We're going to pray that God speaks to you. She hasn't written back, but I believe God will speak to her. And I believe God is in the business of drawing people to himself. We also had, I'll tell you one more story. Two more. We take a small group, a bunch of us guys, there's four or five of us. We decided, well, let's spend some time together. We don't have any ministry right now. We go out onto the beach and we sit down on the beach and there's a bunch of Muslims playing soccer, right? There's like, must be 15, and there's kind of a leader, and we find out later they came from KL, right? I should show a picture. These guys. There might have been some more standing around, too. That's DJ on the bottom. I was in the one, but it wasn't as good. He never got up as high. That's my excuse. And anyways, so they're having a great time on the beach, and so DJ says, well, we should go and play soccer with them. So we go down one at a time. We all get involved in this soccer game, and I get involved too. And then, but I'm sucking for wind for a lot of it. But we have a great time. We build a relationship, and then they're coming across. Can we take pictures? So there's all these like pictures. People always want pictures with us. I don't know why. Well, I could see it from, you know, they want to. my picture. Sorry, that's a bad joke. I know. So anyways, it's really funny because then, and then what's his name? Anders. It's not on there, but he's from Denmark. He comes up to me, Walter, we should sing him a song. I said, yeah. You know how you have a good idea for somebody? I think you should do this. I think you should do this. I said, well, sing him a song if you want to sing him a song. Well, go ask him first. There's a leader, right? They don't speak English. Go ask him first if we can sing him a song. Because we have this one song that we do. Hail Jesus, you're my king. Right? You know the words? Same thing. You just repeat, right? So that's what he was meaning. He says, if you sing, we'll sing with you. So there's like five of us, right? So the leader comes up. And he goes and asks them, can we sing you a song? Sure. So they're all videotaping us on the beach. There's Muslim people with their hijabi things on. They're all over the place. And I'm singing at the top of my lungs, Hail Jesus, you're my king. And then all the guys sing, Hail Jesus, you're my... And yeah, and they got this all recorded, and they're taking it all back to KL, to their school. So... like, what kind of perspective do they have of Christians after something like that? Because they have this view of Christianity that is not very good, right? That they're taught in schools, that they're taught. So I was really thankful for, and some of them, guys are talking to them on Facebook. But you got to remember, this is a Muslim country. So we would, one last thing. We would spend time with Rohingyas, and I don't know if you've heard of them in the news. They're a displaced people out of Myanmar. Many have been murdered, families decimated, and they came across. And so there's some working illegally in Malaysia. And so we had like three, it was about five, three that came most of the time. And so I knew that they wanted us to teach English. So we get out there. We're driving, five of us, it's about 45 minutes, and I said, you know, guys, they're expecting us to teach English. Like, Terry, my friend sitting over here, he knows how to teach English, right? I know how to speak, sort of, English. And I'm sure Shirley knows how to teach English, but none of us in that van or that know how to speak, how to teach English. So I'm saying, you know, we have to teach English when we get there. And they're just all ignoring me. So we get there, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm the leader. Now what? So I said, hey, my name is Walter. Your turn. And we go around. And by the time we got around once, my whole team is starting to come up with ideas of what we can do. And it's amazing. Every time we get there, we give them all hugs. We tell them we love them. And I set down the rules. I said, you know what? We're going to teach English for about an hour, and then we're going to tell a Bible story from the Injil. Oh, okay. And we'd share a story right from memory. You know, the prodigal son, how the father loves you. He really cares about your family. He cares about everything about you. And then we'd share the gospel. Well, it is all the gospel, that God is, that God loves him. So, yeah, there was a real bond of love with those guys, and a lot of them are still on Facebook. What? Oh, yeah. Another picture. Here they are. That's DJ. This is Anders over here. And this is the oldest kid we had. His name is, what's his name again? What?
Ron.
No, it's Ron.
Jeremiah,
yeah. Jeremiah and Ron. And then Dale, he's from Canada, right at the back with the white hat. And we'd say, I am walking to the door. I am stepping outside. I am stepping inside. We went through floor, window sills, everything. And these kids, these Rohingyas, they just loved it. They picked it up. We'd buy chicken, and then we'd have a meal with them every time we went. It was really awesome. It was so cool. I am rushed for time, but what now? What are we doing now? What's next? We're very excited about what God has been asking us to be a part of, or has asked us. And so we're not here long. We're leaving on April 5th. We're heading back to Hawaii, and we're going to start a program called Word Alive, where we're going to help develop it. So I'm going to show you a video of a celebrity. He can explain it a bit better.
Okay, well, Christian B. Serious?
Phone call?
Hang on, just give me a second. Yeah, Chris, you're supposed to be here. We're in front of the whole church right now. Hello? Yeah? You can't be here. You're at Tim Hortons. What do you mean you're at Tim Hortons? Listen, seriously, come on. I'm going to have to do it? Fine. We'll talk about this later. Okay, right. Okay, well, you're going to walk me through this? Okay. So, seriously, folks, we are really excited. Even though Chris isn't here, we're really excited about what God is leading us into. We're going to be doing, it's called Word Alive. Word Alive. It takes Word by heart, and it takes music, drama, all written, right? You know, we'd create them ourselves. Dance, special effects, and special whatever else you can think of. Anyways, it puts it all together into a production. Now, is that sweet or what? What? Word by heart? They don't know? Oh, yeah. Okay. Chris says you don't know what word by heart is. Well, yeah. Word by heart is actually taking like a whole book of the Bible and memorizing. It's not memorizing. I know that's what they say, it's not memorizing, but it is. Okay, all right, it's not memorizing. Okay, it's not memorizing. It's putting it to memory. Whatever. Anyways, you know the whole book, Revelation, parts of John. So it's by memory, and it's in a production. So how sweet is that? So that's the plan. We get there in April, and we start for 6 months formulating this on how it's going to be done, all the acting, the dance, everything. There's about 10 of us involved, and then the different programs in the school will come together. And so, yeah, we're doing that, and then in September, the students come, and then they'll take on this and get it all done, and Lord willing, we'll take it on tour across Asia, possibly across the States, and I know they have a place in Africa, 16 nations getting together. So it's pretty awesome, and you know, we love your support. We'd love to have your support. Pray for us, and you know, we need your hugs. We need everything. Chocolate chip cookies, we'll take whatever you got. We need you. So that was it. She said it was okay. Okay, God bless you guys. That's it.
So you probably have more questions now. So I think we're done, hey, Chris?
Yeah. But we just want to say that Word Alive is something that we just found out about while we were away doing Crossroads. And God just like put this into our hearts that this is something like, wow, this is everything we love. It's music, it's drama, it's the dance, the choreography. Everything that we enjoy is coming together in one thing. So we're pretty excited that God is leading us into this and that we get to be a part of this. And we certainly love the fact that our church is part of this too. So I know some of you have been getting our newsletters, not all of you have. So we have a back on the table in the middle, there's going to be a place where I think Declan is going to be selling chickens and rabbits. So ignore the chicken and rabbits. No. Don't step on them is what I mean. So on one half of the table, you can buy chicken and rabbits. On the other side, you can put your name down and your email address. There's a clipboard there so that you can get our newsletter while we're gone. There's also a little info sheet you can take home if you would like to partner with us financially, because we're sort of going into this for a long time now. And so if you'd like to partner with us financially, there's a piece of paper there that shows you how you can do it, because we're going through Youth with a Mission now to do that. The cool thing is that we're doing this together, and we want to do this as our church, as our partners, where God is taking us. And we are so confident that God is leading. That's the exciting part. So we're just wanting you to be part of it with us. Can I share one more thing?
Okay.
Okay. This is going to be quick, but I just... all of missions, like we all do missions, right? We all, every single day we meet people that need God. Every single day God takes us into places that people don't know God at all. And I just... I wanted to share with you, and God has just been telling me this morning to share this, and I know it's sort of out here, and I'm bringing it into this, but I just felt God wanted to share. The reason we're sharing all of this, the reason all of us do this, the reason we talk to anyone, is because God wants everybody to know how much He loves them. And we say that over and over, and we learn that as little kids, Jesus loves me, and when we grow up hearing that. But I know for myself, I don't have a clue how much that is and how big that is. And I've been praying, God, just reveal yourself more. Get me to understand this love more, because I don't understand it all. God is way too big and way over me to understand that love. And sometimes I feel I have so much head knowledge about it, but do I got it down here? And that's what we share, right? Is from our heart. That's why people hear it, because we're telling them our heart. And a dream that God gave me was, I was actually just floating in outer space. And there was just, you could see all the constellations, stars, planets, just floating. And I remember just speaking, saying, I wonder sometimes if this is what heaven is going to be like. It's going to be silent and perfectly peaceful, but all alone. And then I just heard God's voice just say, oh, Chris. And then his voice just broke with a sob, as if I could, even saying those words hurt him so much, because his love is so great for us. Mm-hmm. To think that we would ever be alone. We are never alone. God just envelops us. And even that thought that God isn't there all the time, or isn't on our side all the time, or doesn't love us all the time, it just breaks God's heart. And that was the end of the dream. It just going, oh, Chris. And I remember myself just sort of sobbing that I had actually caused God that pain by thinking that. But it's that love, that great, immense love that covers the universe, covers space, goes far beyond that, that is for us as individuals. And that's what all of us, no matter what we're doing, no matter where we are, when Shirley's in Europe, when we're in Hawaii or Malaysia, when we're in Winnipeg, when we're at a Jets game, where no matter, when we're at work, God loves us and He wants everyone around us to know that. Mm-hmm. So that's why we're going on this Word Alive. That's why Shirley's doing what she's doing. That's why this church is here. We want people to know that God loves them.
Yeah.
That's sort of the bottom line of what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd just like to close with a little bit of scripture from John 4, the woman at the well. She asked Jesus, why are you asking me for a drink? Yeah. Jesus is asking us for a drink. He's asking us to give to Him. And I believe that His response is just awesome. I think it's key to the whole passage. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift of God, the gift God has for you, if you only knew the gift God has for you, and who you are, and who you are speaking to you would ask me. And so those two concepts, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and the one giving it, you wouldn't ask. It's so awesome. And when we know the character of God, we know how much Chris said, how much he loves us, and we know the purpose, the plans, then we give. We give out of that love. We get out of that. So I'm going to ask the worship team. I don't know. We'll sing a song first, then we'll pray. Yep. So this song is called Change the World, and it says, you and me and the Almighty. You and me. You and me. You and Chris. You and Shirley. And Solomon. And Matthew. And the Almighty. We're going to change the world. All of us.